Good morning. Today we come to the end of our series on the Acts of the Early Church. And in this series we have looked at a few topics. We have looked at devotion, apostles' teaching or doctrine, breaking of bread, prayers, all signs and wonders, together and sharing, growing in numbers, leadership, and last week we looked at martyrdom. Today we are looking at mission. So this will be the concluding topic of this series, the Acts of the Early Church. Let us close our eyes and pray. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to go through the Acts of the Early Church. And thank you, Lord, for the many ways you've spoken to our hearts and many ways you've challenged and encouraged us. Lord, as we examine mission this morning, we pray, Lord, you will speak to us, you will challenge us, and you will encourage us again. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we'll look at mission, this topic under three themes: the mission, the message, and the method. The mission, the message, and the method. Mission is an important assignment given to a person or group of people. That's what the dictionary says, and that is very clear. But we cannot look at this topic without looking at the mission Christ has given to Christians. If you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20. And Jesus says to his followers, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So mission in the context of our topic today can be defined as sharing the gospel with the lost world through God's wisdom and strength. That is, obeying Christ, sharing Christ, and relying on Christ. So the important message we have as Christians is Jesus. Obeying Christ, sharing Christ, and relying on Christ. If you look again at Matthew 28, 19 to 20, Jesus says we should go out and make disciples of all nations. Not a country, of all nations. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. A few weeks ago, we looked at the Great Commission, and we talked extensively on this passage. But it's very important for us to understand the mission we have as Christians. The mission is to go and make disciples. To make disciples, we first need to tell people about Jesus. We then need to help them grow to become like Jesus. We have not been sent to just preach the gospel. We have been sent to make disciples. But we cannot make disciples if we don't tell them about Jesus. If we go back to the passage John has read to us in Acts chapter 8, which, if you are using the church Bible, is on page 1104. Acts chapter 8, from verse 1 to 8. Last week, we talked about martyrdom, and we looked at Stephen in Acts chapter 7. And Acts chapter 8 continues from that passage, and verse 1 says, "And Saul approved of his execution." And that is talking about Stephen. "And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. The old church, the children just read to us a year verse in Acts 2:42. That church that met together every day was now scattered following the persecution, the martyrdom of Stephen. And Saul, in verse 1 to 3 of Acts chapter 8, is prominent because he goes from house to house putting Christians in jail. So people had to flee. But the Bible says, everyone that fled, in verse 4, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. The apostles, the leaders of the church, they stayed at Jerusalem. But every other Christian that had scattered across the region went preaching the word. So just to recap again, the mission we have as Christians is to obey Christ. And Christ telling us in Matthew 28:19-20 to go and make disciples of all nations is to share Christ with all nations, and is for us to rely on Christ. So if we look again at Acts chapter 8 verse 4, those who were scattered went about preaching the word. And that takes us to the next theme we have under this topic, the message. What was this word that they went about preaching? Yes, they preached Christ, his birth, his death, his resurrection, and his return. In John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." And in verse 17, it says, God, in John 3:17, God has not come to condemn the world. That is not why Jesus came. Jesus has come to set the world free. So they went about preaching Jesus. And it's important for us to understand what this gospel is about. It's not about telling people about Grace Church. That is excellent. We can invite people to church. But just because I've invited my neighbor to church does not mean I have told my neighbor the word of God. In fact, the reason why we gather in church every Sunday is that we might be equipped to go out to the world and preach the gospel. The reason they gather together, devoting themselves to doctrine, to teaching, to fellowship, to prayers, is that they might go out and reach all the nations. We are not just in church every Sunday to hear the gospel. We are here to hear the gospel and share with the world. This Saul we read about in verse 1 to 3 of Acts chapter 8. Later on in his life, he was saved. He met Jesus. And he wrote many books in our New Testament, one of which is the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, this is what he said. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, everyone, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in Romans 6:23, he said, for the wages of sin is death. There is a consequence to all of us having sinned. The consequence of all sinning is death. So everyone that lives in our world is a sinner. And because we have sinned against God, remember I told you last week, the God in the Bible is often different from the God people describe outside the church. We live in a world where men have created gods for themselves. Idol worshiping is not just bowing down to a wood. People have created a god in their head and they bow down to that god. That god is most of the times different from the god you will read about in the Bible. We do not know God. He reveals himself to us in his word. All of us, we have sinned against God. And although we have sinned against God, God in his love to us, as John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. And in fact, if you go and study more of God's word, you will understand that love that God is talking about. Last week I told you that if you study your Bible, we are not the only creature that God has made. There are angels, there are other things. David in Psalm says, we men, we human beings, God has made us lower than the angels. In fact, there are records in the Bible when men have encountered angels, they have tried to worship them because they are so powerful beings. In the book of Revelation, John, who saw this revelation, was trying to worship an angel. And the angel said, worship God alone. But David said that although God has made us lower than the angels, yet God cares so much about us. And he said, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you visit him. We sinned against God, all of us, but God sent his only begotten son to die for our sins. So that by his blood, our sins can be washed away. And by his death, our sinful nature can be destroyed. Hence, Paul again said in the book of Romans, for I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. There are lots of people in our world who says, why must Jesus die? The blood of Jesus is not because of us, it is God. We do not know God, God reveals himself to us. If you have created a God in your head, you can say, why does Jesus have to die? It is that blood that satisfies God, and no man is worthy to die for us. So God had to send his only begotten son. We become righteous not because of what we have done. Thank God for our country. There are lots of people giving to charity organizations, and it is wonderful. But just being good does not make you perfect or approved before God. It does not remove the consequence of your sin, which is death. I met a gentleman on the train one day coming from London, and this man told me how much charity work he is doing, and he asked me a question. Do you think when I die, God would approve of me because of what I have done? And I disappointed him by saying, no, it is not by your works. It is by Christ. God is not seeing your good works. He is seeing the death of his son. And this is the message they continue to share with the world. That for by grace are we saved through faith. It is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, lest any man should boast. Lest someone should say, I gave so much to the church and I'm better than this one. Or I give so much to this charity organization. No, we are saved by grace. We are saved because Christ died for us. Only Jesus can save us. And this is the gospel, this is the message they continue to share. Jesus was born, he died for our sins, he rose from the grave, which gives us hope, and he's going to return again. I was joking with one of my friends. I said, a lot of us want to make the world good, but the destiny of the world as revealed to us in Scripture is that this world will be destroyed, and God will create a new world. And so our hope is not only of this world. There is a man in the book of Acts. I'm not going to read it, but if you get home, read Acts chapter 10. The name of this man is Cornelius. The other day we talked about prayer in this series, and I said to you, a child can pray, an adult can pray, a sinner can pray, and a saint can pray. This man is a sinner, but he prayed to God always. He was doing harms. He's a very nice man. He's a good man. But the acts of kindness cannot save him. God had to send Peter to this man Cornelius, that he might be saved, that he might put his trust in Jesus. The righteousness I have in Christ is the righteousness that God has imputed to me. It is not the righteousness I achieved because of what I have done or what I have not done. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 16, the Bible says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham's righteousness was not because he did something or he did not do something, but because he believed in God. It is still the same way that God imputes righteousness to us. If you believe in Jesus, that he died for your sins, and you accept to follow him and become his disciples, then you are saved. This is the message they were preaching to the world. It is not just that Jesus died, Jesus rose. All the religious leaders in the world, they are in their graves. Their graves are beautiful. Some people go there to pay homage. But Jesus is not in the grave. I once had a discussion with a friend who is not a Christian, but said to me that Jesus did not die on the cross. And he said to me that the only thing that happened was that God took Jesus away. I said, whatever you say, you are telling me just now that Jesus is alive. And he kept quiet because that is what he's saying, that Jesus is alive. And I said to him, I'm not going to argue with you whether he died or not, but I'm happy that you believe that Jesus is alive. All other religious leaders are in their grave, but Jesus is alive. He died, he rose, and is in heaven with God. And that is the hope we have. We follow Christ who died and rose. And so our hope as Christians is not just in this world. Paul said, if our hope is only in this world, we are of all men most miserable. This is the message they continue to share with the world, that it is your belief, your trust in Jesus that gives you righteousness. It is Abraham's belief in God that made him a righteous man. There was a time when Israel was going through their journey from Egypt to Canaan. And so many people were dying, and God said to Moses, make the statue of a serpent, and anyone that looks to that serpent will be spared. And as many that believe that if they look at that serpent, they will be saved, were saved. It is all about believing in Christ. It is about believing the work that Christ has done. But we as Christians are not just blind believers. We are not serving a God that is dead. We are serving a God that is alive. Everyone who has believed in Christ has been given by God his Holy Spirit. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. We are not just doing some religion. We talk with God. He speaks to us. And that is the mark of a Christian, the Spirit of God in them. That is what differentiates us from every other person. You read the Old Testament, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon someone and he became the leader or he prophesied. It is the Spirit of God that makes all the difference. It is the Spirit of God in you that will not make you do certain things, or that when you do certain things, he will prompt you that is wrong. And somebody who does not have the Spirit of God, we do it and we have no reason to be guilty of anything. We even tell you it doesn't matter. I'm just being smart. Spirit of God tells a Christian, no, that is against God's will. And so this is the message they continue to preach. They continue to preach Christ, his birth, his death, his resurrection, and his return. And the method, how did they go on this mission? As led by the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 16, verse 9 to 10, there was a vision that they had, that Saul had, or Paul, said, come over to Macedonia and help us. And the Bible says in verse 10 that they believe that the Holy Spirit is leading them to go to that region to preach the gospel, to preach Christ. Christ alone, not works. Only Christ can save. So this church, this early church we are looking at, the method for doing their mission is as led by the Holy Spirit. Somebody once asked me a question, whether it was the Holy Spirit prompting them to pray or it was the devil. And I said, the devil will never ask you to pray, nor will he ask you to preach the gospel. It can only be the Holy Spirit prompting you to share the word of God with your friends, family, neighbors, or anybody. But this church, the method they used was they, as led by the Holy Spirit, they preach the gospel. They sent men abroad. Let us read Acts chapter 13, verse 2 to 4. If you are using the church Bibles, it's on page 1110, 1110. Acts chapter 13, verse 2 to 4. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. One of the ways we can carry out our mission that Christ has given us is to go abroad. Once upon a time, the continent of Africa, nobody know anything about Jesus. People worshipped all sorts of gods. And this is not very long ago. That's why I'm using this example. And many missionaries came down to Africa. First, they encountered something called malaria. Malaria is a very serious thing for people coming into Africa. For those of us who grew up in Africa, it is a normal thing. But most people who came into Africa died because of malaria. But many more people kept coming. Some preached for years and nobody got saved. And after they died, the people said, what he was saying must be true. Today, there are millions of people in Africa who have come to know the Lord. Because some churches in Canada, in the UK, in America, sent missionaries to Africa. And today there are so many people, especially around Asia, that have not heard about the gospel. In fact, I was surprised when I went to uni and I met a Chinese student and I said to her I said something about Jesus and she said to me, who is Jesus? I thought she was joking. She's never heard about Jesus. She's just come to the UK and she said to me, she knows about Buddha. She's never heard about Jesus. The church, the early church sent men or sent people abroad to preach the gospel. And one of the methods of taking this gospel of Jesus Christ is going out of our area to areas where people have never heard the gospel. Those who could not go supported those who were sent abroad. They supported them financially. They supported them in prayers. When missionaries were coming down to Africa from CMS or Anglican Church, most of them stopped in southern part of Africa. Nobody was going up to the Sudan, as they call it, because they were all Muslims. There was a woman who continued to pray that God would send missionaries to the Sudan. And his son has been hearing his mom praying about this, and with two of his other friends, they went down. They got to a place called Lagos, which is along the coast. And they said, "We are going up to the Sudan." And the other missionary said, "Well, maybe you could get there, but it's not likely, or your children could get there, but it's going to be difficult." But these young men, unmarried men, young men, they went up to the Sudan to preach the gospel. And so many people got saved, and they formed a missionary group called Sudan Interior Mission. They went up to the Sudan, where no one was going to go, starting from the prayer of a woman saying, "I want the gospel, Lord, to penetrate the Sudan." And there are so many Christians today in what they call Sudan, which starts from somewhere around northern Nigeria up to North Africa, because people supported those who were sent abroad. It's one of the methods of carrying out our mission. But if we go back to the passage we read today in Acts chapter 8, and we look at verse 4. "Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word." Anywhere you find yourself, you are a missionary. If you are a Christian and you want to obey Christ, anywhere you find yourself, you are a missionary. And this is another method by which this church carried out this mission. Wherever they found themselves, they preach the word. In your family, you are a missionary. In your neighborhood, you are a missionary. In your country, you are a missionary. We must never lose focus. Yes, some brethren will go abroad. Some of us will not go abroad, but wherever we find ourselves, we are missionaries. There are so many people in our country today who do not know God. Although they claim to know God, it is not the God that is recorded or revealed in scriptures. It is a God they created in their head, their own imagination. So wherever we find ourselves, we should share the gospel. So one of the methods they used was they preached the gospel wherever they went. It could be on the train, it could be at the bus stop, it could be where, it could be anywhere. Sharing the gospel. It's about Jesus. It's not about Grace Church. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And you can be a witness to say, "This is what Jesus has done for me. Once I was a sinner, Christ saved me." Another method they used, which is important, and I will emphasize this: do not force people to hear the word of God. You cannot save people because you have spoken for so long, or you have stringed together a very compelling argument. It is Christ that saves. I cannot save. If God is ministering to you this morning, it is because the Holy Spirit is working on your heart. Not because I'm a good speaker or a bad speaker. It is Christ that saves. Do not force men or people to hear the word of God. This is what Jesus says in Mark chapter 6, verse 11. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place. Our duty, our job, our responsibility is to share the gospel. If people would not listen, We can leave them and pray for them. But do not try to force the word of God into their head, because you cannot do it. It is Christ that saves. It is God that saves. One of the things I enjoy in church is listening to people's testimonies. And God has saved people in through various means. Some because they were chatting with someone. Some because they went to a Christian camp. Some because they watched a movie. God has saved people in different ways. And some because they come to church and they listen to the gospel. But it is Christ that saves. Our job, our mission is to tell the world about Christ. Do not force people to hear the word of God. If they would not listen, leave them and pray for them. Sharing the gospel humbly, boldly, and passionately is our mission as Christians. We must be humble, we must be bold, we must be passionate about sharing the gospel. And in fact, sharing the gospel must be intentional. In this church, if you look at your service, information and prayer sheet, after the barbecues, he says, keep the dates free and invite your 5 most wanted. And for those who are new in church, these are people we are praying for as individuals and praying that God will bring them to the kingdom. The 5 most wanted people are people you are consciously, intentionally praying for and looking for opportunities to share this gospel of Christ with. And these are usually non-Christians. So that's the 5 most wanted. And that's one of the ways we have to be intentional about this mission. In conclusion, I will read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 to 16. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. This is Peter, one of the leaders of the early church, encouraging us. All Christians are on mission, and the world is our mission field. Wherever we find ourselves in this world, our job is to preach the gospel. But let me add this, it is not just to preach the gospel. In Matthew 28, 19 to 20, Jesus says, make disciples of them. Our other job is to help believers to grow. As Paul says, until Christ is formed in them, until they grow to maturity. And when they become disciples, they too can make disciples. And that is how the kingdom of God grows. Some people might go and bring in, as they call some people evangelists, they can preach to thousands of people. And if thousands of people come to believe in God and they come to church, our responsibility as Christians is to help those who have come to church as young Christians or new Christians to grow and become disciples of Christ. So in a nutshell today, we have looked at the mission, which comes from Christ. We have looked at the message, which is about Christ. And we have considered a few methods they use in the early church. But remember that our mission is about obeying Christ, sharing Christ, and relying on Christ. And I pray the Lord will bless his word in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.